You are now joining the Mandalorian Watch.
That's right. It's the number one podcast in the galaxy for all things The Mandalorian. I'm your host, Alex Maxwell, and joining me, as always, is the one and only
Mac Lacey.
Hey, Mac.
Alex, we are finishing out our coverage of Disney Gallery with this episode. We're going to do the last three Disney Gallery episodes. So we got Process, we got Score, we got Connections. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good discussion. We'll wrap this up.
We got a pretty good voicemail, too, to go over. We'll talk about that. And then
we'll play that at the end.
We'll tease our Patreon episodes a little bit and then let you kind of know scheduling going forward for the next few months.
Well, let's just go ahead and take care of that.
Okay. Let's do that up top.
Yeah. So basically what we're going to be doing, you guys listening right now are on the normal Mandalorian Watch, the main podcast feed. This is where we do all of our episode coverage. We talk about any news related to the show, all that kind of stuff. So right now we're sort of in our off season. The show is not coming out, and we haven't really gotten to the thick of the anticipation of season two coming out yet.
We're almost there, but we're not quite there yet.
So right now it's kind of our off season. So basically you're gonna get at least one episode per month on this main feed. That's kind of so just so you know kind of what to expect. But with that, the more news, the more big announcements and things like that that are made, we will cover those. So as we get closer, you're probably going to start seeing more and more and more episodes on this feed. So don't fret. We'll be back. We'll cover everything. We'll make sure that we're on top of it.
And like when we're in season, so in October when season two comes out, it's almost going to be like, man, I can't even keep up with the Mandalorian Watch because there's so many episodes.
Right, right.
So there's that. But if you miss us terribly, we always have our Patreon feed.
Yeah, and look, we've been putting out a bunch of stuff on the Patreon. So on our Patreon feed, if you like what we do here on the show, covering everything about the Mandalorian, you want a little bit more, maybe you want a little bit a deeper dive into us, our personalities, and things like that, you can go ahead and sign up for the Patreon. We do all kinds of cool stuff. We do a watch-along episode every month. So it's, every month we do a commentary track that you can hit play right with us, and we'll all watch the episode together, and it'd be like we're all sitting on the couch, you know, in the living room, watching it at the same time. So that's super fun. We also do all kinds of sort of off the wall stuff. Like, we just recently put out an episode that I think is maybe one of my favorite things we've ever recorded.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So like we did like a why we love Star Wars, our history with Star Wars, getting into Star Wars as kids, you know, that sort of thing. We did an episode about that. We do all kinds of stuff. Like, we did a Rise of Skywalker review a while back.
Mm-hmm. We covered the High Republic news that was coming out, stuff like that.
Absolutely. So if you want to hear our thoughts on other stuff outside of just The Mandalorian, you know, maybe head over there. Or if you just, you know, if one episode a month is not enough for you, you want more Mandalorian Watch content, head on over to the Patreon. It's super cheap, and I think we've got a really cool community going on over there. So
absolutely. Speaking of community, you can follow us on Twitter, which is at The Mando Watch, and on Instagram at The Mandalorian Watch. And you can call into our voicemail hotline, which is 205-259-6675, 205-259-6675. And remember, try to keep it under 3 minutes, but if you mess up, just tell us and re-record it, and we won't play the mess up, we promise.
Yeah, no pressure, no worries here on this end. All right, well, I think that's all the business and everything taken care of. So do we want to just jump right into the main content for the episode?
Let's do it.
Cool.
So visualization, score, and connections.
I thought it was called process.
I've got visualization, unless it's changed.
Maybe they changed it.
On IMDb, they changed, like, it says visualization. But now that you say process, I remember it being process.
Yeah, so on Disney Plus, it's called Process. But interesting. Anyway, that's no matter. I was super into that episode.
Process. I thought you might be. Yeah. I was really lost.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad
that's your favorite show. So.
I'm glad that it was shorter than the other ones. It was really cool. Like I can get into the technical babble a little bit, but once you keep talking about it, this is just me. You just kind of lose me a little bit. I thought it was cool though. I mean, it's cool how they did the previs and, they basically made like a little Clone Wars episode before.
Right.
Before the movie, before they even shot. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. And I love that world, like the previs world. And I love getting to see the overall process of how things are made. Cause this production was different in a way like that. That's not done before. They don't normally like make a, you know, like basically like you said, a Clone Wars episode of the episode and so, then shoot it.
Can you, okay, maybe this is where I got lost. It is where I got lost. Can you explain to me like the VR aspect? Like they created the world, but then they would do VR so that they could shoot it any way they want inside the world? Is that how it works?
Yeah. So it was basically, so a director of a film or a TV episode, basically their main two jobs are telling people where the camera should be placed and then getting the performances out of the actors, right? And those two elements are a large part of the language of filmmaking, you know? Like how, like what shots, like what the angle of the shots is and that sort of thing. And then there's everything else, the cinematography, the lighting, everything comes together and makes the overall product. But so basically what this allows, they basically build a little video game world to where they have the 3D model and everything. And you know how like when you're playing a video game, you can kind of rotate the camera around to get like different perspectives and stuff.
Yeah.
That's because like, it's just like if you're in a room, you can yourself like move your head around and look at different angles.
What?
That's news to Alex. He's never moved his neck before. So basically this if you're making a Clone Wars episode,
mm-hmm.
you pretty much have a storyboard and you say, these are the shots I want. And then they animate just those shots. Whereas for this like VR thing, you're making the world, but then the directors can actually come in and it's like as if you're in the world with the Mandalorian and the stormtroopers fighting and all that happening, and you yourself are holding the camera and can get the shots you want while the action is happening independently. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's basically they shot everything before they actually shot everything.
Right. They already had their camera angles picked out. Because like a lot of times
that makes it much faster then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially the expensive part of having people on set is faster.
Gotcha.
Because there's not as much, like, you can make your shot list and know, like, have a general idea of how you want to tell your story. But when you're on set, there's going to be things like, oh, well, maybe let's try it this way because I think that'll convey this feeling. Or, like, maybe let's do it again, but this isn't working now that we've seen it kind of in camera. So let's figure out a different way to shoot it. You know, things like that. And they're already taking care of that before bringing in actors and, you know, your grips, your gaffers, your, you know, PAs, like the people you have to pay. So they're getting that. It's a way to make a more efficient and cheaper production.
Basically. Yeah. And they, you know, they kind of talked about like the workflow Jon Favreau created was really, really good. Yeah. So, I mean, that is pretty cool. I'm wondering like, obviously, they probably want to use this technology going forward in the movies as well, right?
I would think. So when you have a feature film, the budget is a lot bigger to cover a lot less screen time. So I think this is specifically useful for meeting the needs of a TV production. Like they were saying, like, you're working on the resources of a TV budget, but you're trying to make it look like a feature film, because you're trying to be true to Star Wars and everything like that. So it's a way to accomplish that. I think definitely elements of that will be adapted to feature filmmaking, but I would be surprised if we started moving totally to that in the movie world, if that makes sense.
So you're saying Ryan Johnson won't do that?
Probably not.
John Favreau probably would, though.
Yeah, well, he did with Lion King.
Got it, yeah.
Even though that was pretty much animated anyway, you know. So, yeah, like, I don't think that would be a... Like, now, when you're making any kind of movie other than, like, a little indie drama or something, like... multi-compositing with like green screen or blue screen, that's just part of movies now, right? And so like pretty much every feature film, there's an element of that now. And I don't think that this will get to that point where like this is just part of the process now, you know? But I do think it will be adopted in feature films in some areas.
When are you going to start utilizing it?
I highly doubt that, so I travel with everything that I use, in a carry-on so I can fit it on planes, and so that's, I don't...
Are you saying VR goggles won't fit in your carry-on?
I'm just trying to give you a picture of the kind of, budget I'm working on for my little productions for, my job, but...
Maybe in 20 years.
Maybe, hopefully. Maybe, Alex, the dream is for you to write a script that I shoot for Star Wars.
Okay.
That's the dream, honestly. That's the end goal, I think.
Deal. So. Deal. All
right.
The Adventures of Jay Starstone and Arcanist Rex coming to a theater near you.
That's it.
Awesome. I thought that stuff was pretty cool, but... Like I said, sometimes I get lost in the techno babble of it a little bit, and I feel like I have ADHD and it's hard for me to pay attention. But it was not hard for me to pay attention to the next episode, which was all about the score, and that was incredible.
I loved it too. Oh man, even just from seeing that huge recorder,
it was amazing.
Like, I've never seen a recorder that big.
He's got a lot of instruments at his house or studio or whatever that it was.
Yeah. And like this really appealed to the musician side of me.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I just want like a day in that room, mm-hmm. and like to see what I can make. And obviously it would not be anywhere near what Ludwig can make.
I mean, but, he even had like a giant computer that he made sounds on.
Well, it's not a computer. It's like an analog like effects rack.
I don't know what it is, but it was huge.
Yeah, no, there's super cool stuff. Like all of it's super cool.
It was really really cool just to see him, especially when like he visited the set and played the song for them on set. That was like you could tell he was really really proud of what he had come up with,
dude. He should be
because it's awesome,
because it's incredible. No, but he's like an adorable person, right?
Yeah,
like everything that he like, he was just so excited and so passionate, and like you could tell like when he was working, and especially like when he got in the room with the orchestra and everything, there was like this like look of like wonder still on his face.
Like he would be fun to hang out with.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He would be a part of the Mandalorian watch easily.
I love watching Jon Favreau, and like I love the things he makes and stuff.
He would be hard to hang out with.
I do not want to have a conversation at length with him.
He dominates.
That's not like an interview, right? Because even just watching him interact with people at the table, like Kathleen Kennedy, even he's like cutting her off and like. interrupting. And
now I will say, John, if you want me at the table, I'm there. You can leave Mac at home, but I will listen to you and I'll let you cut me off.
I want to be at that table. I just don't want to like I don't necessarily want to be on a road trip with him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, like I don't want to be in a car trying to entertain ourselves.
He'll be telling you all about the music that you're playing and trying to listen to.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what about Dave? Would you want Dave Filoni on a road trip with you? I would.
Absolutely, yeah.
He would tell me all sorts of stories.
And see, I wouldn't mind having John to listen to in that regard, but it's not like a peer thing. It's like a me, like, listening to this, like...
That's true, yeah.
Here, like, right?
It's not a conversation.
I feel like I could actually... There'd definitely be that element with Dave, but I feel like you could get into the nitty-gritty after a while. Like, and then that would bring out even more, like, cool stories, and then you'd just sit back and listen to those, you know?
I just want to talk Star Wars with him. Like, I just want to talk, like in-universe stuff, not, like, how you made it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about characters,
well,
plot,
I want both, but...
those things. I know you want both. But that's, I mean, I want more Qui-Gon stories from Dave. That's what I want.
Ooh, absolutely. The Qui-Gon thing was one of the best things to come from the Disney Gallery series, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, like, so his process, getting back to the scoring and the composing and everything, Ludwig's process is really cool to me. Because he's kind of just like, it's just like rooted in like experimentation, and he's just like throwing stuff at the wall, and like he is talented and intuitive enough to like know what's sticking, you know?
Right. It was really cool too, to kind of like, I guess I didn't realize this until now, like subconsciously I did, but he kind of made mention, like, you hear the Mandalorian theme every single episode, but it like, it's almost like it's added to each time. So like each episode, it's a little different. It's a little more
characterized
specific
differently
to that. Yeah.
To like reflect where Mando's at. And
yes.
And he also talked about how like, in addition to the Mando theme and like each of its iterations in each episode, there's also kind of an episode theme.
Yeah.
He said like he kind of made a new theme for like each episode.
Right.
And I thought that was cool. Like when you like the, and I love hearing, like seeing the name of the track come up, and then you're seeing the visuals and like you're getting the sound effects and stuff, but the mix is adjusted. So the music is a lot louder and more present. Like I would love a whole cut of The Mandalorian like that. Like just with the music raised.
Like The Last Jedi does that. Like you could just watch The Last Jedi and just with the music. Nothing. It's just the music.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Stuff like that's pretty cool.
I like music. I think music is cool.
It's storytelling.
And I think Star Wars music is just cream of the crop.
Yeah, it's storytelling. It was really cool to just see them have that discussion of, you know, they knew that they didn't want to emulate totally John Williams. Of course, like, I feel like the Mandalorian theme does feel like something John Williams might have created, but, you know, overall, the Mandalorian track and soundtracks, they are different. It is different Star Wars music, but it feels like Star Wars.
It does. It almost, like, there are parts of the music that seem like something John Williams could have written for a different movie.
Yeah.
Like a Western. It's like, oh, if John Williams like scored a Western, there's a lot of like, especially in the Mandalorian theme and stuff, that comes through like that. But there's elements too that Ludwig adds that are completely just new, but still feel so correct in universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the recorder stuff, the some of the more like almost like primal sounding sort of music, you know, that's not something that John Williams, you know, really has done that much, but like it fits in the world so well.
Right.
It's just really, really cool. I love that his wife, like, who was pregnant at the time, was in the orchestra.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
It was all really cool. It was just really cool to see, like, and hear Ludwig talk about, like, how special it was and, like, how hard it was too. Of like, it's this, like he said something like it's effectively like scoring three movies,
right?
And I didn't really think about that, you know. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
And then finally, the last episode of Disney Gallery was Connections, and it was a pretty good episode. I mean, I thought
it was good. It wasn't quite like everything that we thought we were maybe going to get from it. Everything that we had speculated that was possible, I guess, but
I don't like to bring up our defeats on the show. Only victories.
Only victories. That's all right. That's,
only victories. That's fair. So I did think like, hey, it's called Connections. Maybe we'll get like a season two little clip or hint or something.
Or just like see some of the previs or something from season two.
Well, and then on Twitter, like a couple days before it came out, there was a ton of speculation about that very thing because Lucasfilm did not send out like the presser for it. So it's almost like they were trying to keep something secret. But honestly, they probably just forgot.
Or just didn't think it was necessary at this point, you know?
But come on, Lucasfilm. I mean, we're Star Wars fans. We think that we see the conspiracy in everything. Like,
and we are entitled to things that
well, but it's like you think that they won't think anything of it if we don't send some. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, come on. The Star Wars community is worse than, like, any other conspiracy theory group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, anyways, the whole episode was pretty cool. I mean, if you've listened to the podcast, you knew all those things already.
There was not anything that wasn't brought up by us before. Like, I didn't necessarily learn anything. Well, okay, the one thing I did learn
was that
Mark Hamill voiced that.
Did not know that.
That was the one thing I didn't know.
That was it.
But just to recap some of the cool things.
Will Rowe Hood,
we knew about Will Rowe Hood. As soon as we saw that ice cream maker, we brought up that connection. But
John Favreau attempting to describe the running of the Will Rowe Hood was like, it was a little cringy for me. It's just because like,
oh, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
But the thing is, it's like everybody watching knows what he's talking about, but he's not like, he doesn't even really know what he's talking about a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
to me, it was funny because I like to do anthropology on like a microscopic scale sometimes, like the studying of like tiny little pockets of subcultures and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how like John Favreau seemed like he was talking to me. It was almost like an anthropological, like, and then like there's this like group that all dress like Will Rowe Hood and run like, to a convention. And
it's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah. It's like, we've seen it.
Yeah. we know. But we are those people, John.
But I think something that's very important to remember is, like, you and I, Alex...
I know.
No. But there's a ton of people who have been introduced and maybe taken a step further into their Star Wars love and fandom by The Mandalorian.
That's true.
And this is, like, the gateway into some of those larger kind of things that we've been, you know... You know, we've been wise of for a long time.
That's true. Good point.
I don't want anybody to be like to feel discounted by that. But yeah. But I mean, seeing everything when they brought the Darksaber up, I was like, all right, this is it. This is where we get the. And then nothing. But it's okay.
It's like they didn't want to talk about the Darksaber.
Yeah. They're making a season two. It's not like they owe us anything.
So, no, but like we aren't getting Star Wars Celebration this year, so I was hoping.
Which is and this was done, I'm sure, before even COVID hit. Like I think these conversations took place before the show came out.
It almost looks like it took place during like last year's Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
like around that time.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, there was probably not, like, a ton of room for seeing how different things were glommed onto by fans and, you know, and then, like, making a reactionary edit that way, like, in this series, but...
Yeah. Blurgs. Blurgs are cool.
I didn't know that they were in the Ewoks movie because I've never seen the Ewoks movies.
You haven't?
Never seen them.
You need to find a copy.
Yeah.
You need to watch them. There was a theory when The Force Awakens came out that the little girl in it was Captain Phasma. That they were the okay. same person. I wish That's it was true.
Because... I wish that'd be a better origin story than the one that we actually got. That book was... I think our review of that book is floating around somewhere. That was one of the... That was like the second podcast episode we ever recorded, maybe, I think. Wasn't it?
I don't know. It was
very early on, though.
It was rough.
Yeah, but I thought it was hilarious. Like, I have never seen a human being that seemed more over it. Like, I thought Harrison Ford was the pinnacle of being over Star Wars. George Lucas has surpassed him. That shot where Jon Favreau is trying to talk to him about the gun from the holiday special. And George is just like, no, not really.
Well, he's very ashamed of that. He doesn't like people bringing that up. Like, right. he literally tried to buy all the copies and destroy them.
Yeah. And Favreau, like... It was a very, like, tone-deaf thing on Favreau's part.
Well, and I think that's what I was getting at with the Wilro Hood thing, is, like,
yeah.
he's a little tone-deaf. A little yeah. bit. Just a little bit.
I think that's probably true. I mean, like, when you're famous and successful for so long, you, like, I think you don't share the same reality.
But there's an authenticity to that, too, though, that's, right. that is kind of refreshing. It's like, man, he just doesn't tiptoe around anything. He just says things.
Yeah.
So that can be a little refreshing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny that, you know, they were talking about the gun and you see it, you know, with the dinosaur thing, and then he effectively uses it on a walrus dinosaur in The Mandalorian. So
that's true. That's true.
I thought that was cool.
I still think it's very funny, and I think I brought this up in like our like a commentary recently or something, but just how much the dinosaurs in the holiday special just look like normal dinosaurs.
It's just a dinosaur.
It's just like, oh, that's a dinosaur. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's enough. That's yeah. Those don't exist anymore.
Yeah. It was cool. I mean, going back to the Darksaber, that they built one and like they talked about how it didn't I guess they were thinking it didn't translate as well from animated to live action, but I feel like it did.
No, I think they probably had... I think we landed on an improved version. So, Dave... And this was another thought that I wish we had gotten more of that was that John cut off. But Dave was talking about how like they learned in the, like... You never make something one-to-one. Like, you're not just trying to build the digital asset in real life because it's not part of that, like, stylized world, right? So you have to, like, remove some of the stylization, and then that's how you get the live-action, like, equivalent.
But what'd they remove? It looked the same to me.
The dimensions are a little different. It's, like, it's a little longer, I think.
Okay.
Proportionally. And then it's not like, so I think probably what happened, and this wasn't shown, but like, I think they probably had maybe at least one or maybe a few iterations of it trying to get it right.
Yeah.
That they were more trying to do a direct like translation.
Got it.
And then
that makes sense.
That's what it seemed okay. like to me. And then what we saw was like the finished.
Sure.
The thing they landed on, you know?
Yeah.
Because on a production like that, if a prop doesn't look like right, they're not just going to be like, oh, well, nothing we can do. Like, they'll make a new one, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But...
Or if, like, you're in the production of The Rise of Skywalker, and you watch...
You will move...
You're making brand new props right there on the spot.
Yeah.
You're changing the entire prop from a scroll to a dagger.
Yeah. Which is worse than a scroll, I think.
But anyway, you can listen to those thoughts on our Patreon.
If you're on the production of The Last Jedi, you will cut scenes that would inform character motivations, all so that you have the budget and run time
for a sea
available
cow.
To fly in a sea cow.
God, he was determined to get that in the movie.
That's the biggest Star Wars mystery to me. I'm like, what like childhood promise is Rian Johnson fulfilling? Like an oath that he swore decades ago.
Deep trauma. So deep trauma to, I need to have Luke Skywalker suck from this sea cow green milk.
It's rough.
I need it.
I'm like, what did Rian Johnson gain in the deal that he sold this?
Maybe it was a process of letting go something, though. Maybe you need to let something go. That's how you do it.
All right.
No one's ever truly gone.
That's true. Ultimately, man, we're in Patreon mode on this one.
Listen, John Favreau, if you're listening, we love you. You're that friend that cuts everybody off. That's okay though. That's who you are.
You don't have to totally change or anything. Just work on it. Maybe let three or four more sentences go uncut off before you cut off somebody in the future. You know,
at least wait for there's a cadence or a pattern to sentences when they're being spoken out loud. You know when it's about to end, right? Correct. Like you can feel the sentence about to end. Just wait. Till the end.
Yeah.
People usually, it's almost like a roller coaster, right? The way you speak.
Yeah. There's some context clues that come through inflection and pay attention to those and then you'll get it.
God, we're never getting invited by Lucasfilm for anything.
No.
I need you to edit all of this out.
We are speaking to someone who's infinitely more successful than we will ever be.
Yeah. Obviously, we're joking. But if we ever get invited to an official Lucasfilm thing, Mac, I need you to delete this episode immediately when
absolutely.
That happens.
I will make a mental note.
If you see this episode missing, know that we're probably doing something with Lucasfilm.
There's some big stuff coming. Yep.
Because I don't think John Favreau is going anywhere in Lucasfilm. In fact, I feel like
he has further cemented himself as a permanent, somewhat permanent figure now.
I really do. I do think that's true.
I do too, and I'm glad. I think he absolutely knocked it out of the park with The Mandalorian. I'm very excited for anything else he wants to do.
He's got that vision for Star Wars that I think that has been lacking a little bit. He knows what he wants with it.
Yeah, and from a craft and technical perspective, you know, people can be the biggest fans of something and not know how to make that a reality, you know?
Yeah.
How to have the most faithful vision for something to Star Wars, but then not have the know-how to make that vision come true. And I think what John has shown is he has a vision. It's something that's very, Star Wars is important to him. He's maybe not the biggest Star Wars nerd or anything, but he definitely has a love and respect for the property,
and I think
he knows
that's
how
almost
to make
better
his
sometimes.
Vision. I think it is. I think it
you can almost love it too much, right?
I think so. I think so. And I think with that come if you love it too much, you will get caught up in trying to make everything work with what's come before and make everyone in the community happy and that sort of thing. And that's not what you should do as a storyteller. You should tell your story, you know, in the most effective way possible. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah.
So what we're trying to say, John, is, keep cutting people off, because
keep doing it. You can cut me off anytime that you want.
Yeah. Come on the podcast and just take it over.
You want to be the new host of the Mandalorian Watch? We'll surrender the feed.
Right, I'll text you the questions. I don't even have to talk.
It'll be great. I'll just hold up cue cards on the video call. Yeah. So.
We actually have, like I teased at the beginning of the episode, a pretty good voicemail that goes along with part of this discussion, along with the score. So why don't we check it out?
Let us do it.
Hi guys, this is Bryn from Utah. I really like the show. I discovered it a couple weeks ago and I've been binge listening to it while I'm at work. But the other thing that I've been doing has been listening to the soundtrack from The Mandalorian. And I noticed that in Chapter 8, when little Din is being rescued by either Death Watch or by members of House of Clan Vizsla, the song is called A Thousand Tears. And so I wondered if maybe that event that we see in all of those flashbacks is actually the Night of a Thousand Tears, because I know that we didn't really get kind of what we were expecting from those last couple of episodes of Clone Wars. So I wondered if maybe it's possible if that would kind of, you know, fix up the timeline that everyone's been thinking about, if Din was actually brought in with the Mandalorians and rescued during the Siege of Mandalore, and that's why Moff Gideon chose to reference the Night of a Thousand Tears specifically, because when he was going through all the records, he realized that the foundling Din Djarin was brought in during the Night of a Thousand Tears. So just something interesting that I thought, because I know there's been a lot of confusion about the timeline. I would love to know what you guys think about it. The show's really good. Thanks, and bye.
Bryn, awesome voicemail. Thank you so much for calling. That was really, really good. Theory. That's the kind of theory that I like to hear.
Absolutely. I love it when we can gain some new perspective and get our minds headed in a different direction than before, you know, via our interaction with you guys. I mean, that's ultimately why we do this, why we try to build this community. Like, I love it.
I'd never thought about that, to be honest with you. Because
I hadn't either. I got caught up in the E-Web blaster thing.
Well, I got caught up in the foundling, the fact that he's a foundling. Right. I just assumed like he wasn't a part of the Mandalorian culture, but it would kind of make sense if that is the Night of the Thousand Tears we might be seeing. It's possible. It's absolutely possible. The only thing that really goes against it is the fact that there's battle droids there, and I would assume it would be clone troopers because of the E-Web, right?
Yeah, but maybe that's not like as important of a detail.
Maybe it's not.
Like, and maybe like we just don't have the context to know how that like plays into it, you know?
Yeah.
This kind of goes back to the whole thinking about like the covert that we see in The Mandalorian as almost like a Mandalorian Plan B emergency survival protocol.
Yeah.
Like, you could be a foundling into that, even if maybe you were a Mandalorian before. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Well, and I would assume that those people in the covert, especially armor, probably don't even really consider most of the people on Mandalore Mandalorians, right? Because they're not even taking off their masks. They're doing things way different than the new age Mandalorian movement that Satine created.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean,
it's definitely interesting to think about. Like, that would mean that, like, or maybe it's still going back to the thing where, like, Din was a recruit. And, like, maybe, like, with him and his family at that point, but he hadn't, like, gotten a helmet and been made a foundling yet, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, so maybe he was, like, getting scouted for being a Mandalorian warrior, right? Or, like, for this, like, particular covert or, you know, something like that. And that could make that timeline kind of work up. I think it really just comes down to, like, you know, like Bryn said, like, we didn't get necessarily the answers we were hoping for from, like, the last three episodes of the Clone Wars, which is fine, you know, totally good, but, like, we just don't have the context yet to know what happened.
Do you think
eventually that story is going
to
be told?
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Do you think it will be told in season two?
I think we'll get some more flashbacks.
I don't think we have time for it now in season two. There's
a lot going on.
There's so much that's going on in season.
How many episodes season two is going to be?
It's either going to be 8 or I've also heard 10.
I've heard 10 too. But even with 10 episodes, there's still
a lot.
With Ahsoka and maybe, yeah.
I'm not sure if you read that rumor about Ahsoka.
I haven't.
I don't want to talk about it on the podcast just yet.
All right. Well, we'll cover it later. We'll talk about it off mic. Maybe we'll clue the listeners in later, but
well, it's just there's so many things that have been spoiled for season 2. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, I'm with you. Season 1 was great cuz we knew nothing. We knew almost nothing.
Right. So, yeah, I just don't know. Honestly, I think maybe we'll get, like you said, a little bit into Din's past. But I don't think... I almost feel like they should save that towards the last season.
Yeah.
Of maybe, like...
I think we already have season 3 that's being worked on, mm-hmm. right? Hadn't that been confirmed?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And so we've got at least... another season.
I don't see this, if we're being honest, I don't see this show going beyond 4.
I would agree. I think
I don't even really about three.
I think 3 seasons would be good.
Yeah.
I think that's like about what it would, I think 3 seasons could really wrap it up. Yeah. Then we've got the first act.
Right.
We're going to have. Just going back to the whole original trilogy formula, like we, you know, I'm good with that.
The dark second act is coming.
I think season 2 is gonna be
same,
but we're also gonna have the world expanded and more people are like more concepts and characters and things like that brought in. Season 3 we'll get the final battle and the triumph. You know,
that's what I'm thinking too. But never fear if. It is just 3 seasons. We are here to stay because we are here to cover the future of Star Wars, which is Star Wars live action television. So
absolutely.
We will be here for the Cassian Andor series. We'll be here for the Obi-Wan series.
And there's about 3 other new series I've heard of in the last 2 weeks.
Probably the Ahsoka series, which I'm assuming will probably happen. There's been rumors of them trying to cast a live action Ezra. We'll see what happens.
There's been some Game of Thrones style Old Republic show rumors.
Oh, we're here for that one.
That one will be...
They should just play the Game of Thrones soundtrack for that one. Just the opening for each episode. But it's planets instead of like...
mechanical buildings.
Castles.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it. I think that wraps it up for the Disney Gallery series. We've covered it all. If there's anything we missed, anything else you want to get your opinions on, let us know. Send in your voicemails. Otherwise, we're never going to speak of it again. No, I'm sure stuff will come up, but... yeah, so let us know. Call our voicemail. Reach out on Twitter. Join that Patreon. Like we said, we put out... the patrons are getting a lot more content than is on the main feed. So if you want more, you know, check that out.
Check it out.
Or patreon.com/TheMandalorianWatch.
That's right.
And we'll hope to see you there.
I'm so excited.
For The Mandalorian?
For all of it.
Season 2?
For all of it.
Yeah,
we're almost there. I mean, think about it. We've got July coming up.
Yep.
Then August.
And then September.
And then
boom.
By September, we're gonna be getting trailers.
We'll be in full force, but I'd say by August.
Yeah.
We'll have a trailer.
That's true.
We'll be in high gear by that point. So, and then when the show hits, y'all are not going to know what to do with all the content we're going to put out on the main feed. We're going to be doing the episode review recaps. We're going to be doing voicemail episodes, you know, and we'll be doing one for the main feed and probably even another one for the Patreon feed.
Extra one for the Patreon feed.
Yeah. Alex and I are going to be very, very busy fellows.
But that's okay, because we love you.
And we love The Mandalorian, and we love Star Wars. And most importantly, we love you, like Alex said. I just wanted to put that, you know, last but not least. All right.
Least but not last.
Whoa. No. The fans are not least.
I didn't say that. I was just saying something backwards like Yoda.
All right, that's fair.
And, Yoda's got to be careful with that. That could get him in trouble.
Yeah, it could really change the meaning of what he's trying to say, like what you just did.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got a better handle on it.
Like I said, I don't know if I said this when we started recording or not. I took ZQL last night. I'm just not here right now.
I know.
I'm here, but I'm not here.
I know. You're on a different plane right now.
Yes, like my consciousness is underwater, but my body is here.
Right. I know. You're like, you know, like when Doctor Strange gets his like astral projection punched out of him? That's you right now. Your body is just like, oh, and then you're
my astral projection is somewhere else. It is, yeah. It's in October, it's like, watching season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Exactly.
But I'm here.
Right. Cool. Well, thanks, y'all. Patrons.
Remember, if this
out.
Episode's ever deleted, you know what that means.
You'll know. Just get ready. Hold on to your seats.
We're in Hollywood, baby.
That's right. But until then, keep the watch.